Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. It is a good day. It's actually a cloudy day here in Seattle. The clouds have come back, but it's mid-April, so it's to be expected. Hope you guys are getting sun out there. But yeah, today's a good day because we got Lindsay Sharma with us on the show. Lindsay is from Lindsay Sharma Property Buyers. She is a single family wholesaler. She does owner finance notes out in, Central Arkansas, I believe she said, and then Ohio. She is currently in Florida. We were just talking about how good of a metro that area is. So, Lindsay, I'm excited to jump into this. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thanks for having me here, Gabe. I'm excited.
For sure. I told you before we got on the show, we like to start with stories to hear how people kind of got to where they are today. It's always an interesting story, especially in real estate. So why don't you take us to the beginning of your story and just tell us what got you to where you are today?
Yeah, I love this question. And I'm like you, I love hearing people's stories. So many people from different walks of life get into real estate for various reasons. So my story, I grew up in Northwest Ohio. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. And when I was growing up, you know, the economy was sort of depressed in that area. The auto industry was flourishing, you know, a couple of decades back, and it started to decline. Companies were pulling the factories out of the area. It was really affecting families. And so I grew up middle class. We did, our family was comfortable. We went on vacations, things like that. But there was always that idea of financial scarcity in our home at times. And that really shaped my mindset about money and what I wanted for my life. I was fortunate enough to go to college. I got a degree in graphic design. And when I graduated, it was 2007. And as we know, the financial crisis hit in 2008. And I had a very difficult time finding a job, especially something in my field. And my first job right out of college was renting trucks out for Penske Truck Leasing, and very far from what I went to school for. And yeah. So I kind of spent my 20s job hopping. I did a little bit of graphic design work on the side, freelancing. So I learned kind of how to hustle, get clients, and learn things on my own to kind of take my own path. I eventually did get a job as a graphic designer, did that for a couple of years. And ended up moving to Arkansas to be closer to my sisters who moved there for jobs. And I did have a graphic design business for a couple of years, and I did everything wrong. I treated it like a job that I owned for myself as opposed to a business. And I learned a lot of lessons there. And as I was going through that process and kind of struggling to make the income I wanted, I started working on my financial education, my financial literacy. I was reading books about building wealth, passive income. And of course, I got turned on to real estate investing. And I really sat with that information for a couple of years, and I just didn't know how to get started. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any money. I was scared. So I thought, well, why don't I try to get a job working for somebody who's already doing this? I can learn from them, see what their everyday looks like, and then maybe I'll have the confidence and experience to do it on my own. And that's exactly what I did. I hopped on Indeed. I found a real estate investor in my area who was hiring, and I got hired for the job as an executive assistant. I worked for him for 3 years. He was a wholesaler, also had a portfolio of owner finance notes, and I bought my first investment property while I was working for him, and then started my own business eventually. And that's what I'm doing now.
Nice. I love it. So many people get on the show, and a common theme is that even for myself is that I wish I had gotten mentorship earlier. You know, I bought courses, I went to RIAs, but I never really worked with someone who was doing it, who already had the experience, because I feel like that is the shortcut. If you want to get a shortcut in real estate, the shortcut is to work with someone who's done it, who already knows how to do it. So it's awesome to hear that that's what you did. You got a job with an investor. Good idea. I mean, especially at the time, I'm sure it was scary to kind of hop fields. So Indeed, you just kind of hopped on Indeed and found an investor.
Yeah. And what's so funny is like at the time, I really didn't know what real estate investing entailed, right? I was listening to podcasts. I knew the rental properties were involved. I didn't know anything about wholesaling. I just learned so much as I jumped into that job. It was incredible.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of stood out to me is you mentioned like when you were building your graphic design business, it was more of a job to you than it was an actual business. And that is super, it's a lesson that is difficult to learn. Even in real estate, you can get caught in the wheel of like, you know, calling sellers, making offers, and doing it all yourself versus getting cold callers to work for you or getting, you know, a lead manager to follow up with the leads and all that kind of stuff. Did you take those lessons from your graphic design business and automatically apply it once you decided to make your own wholesale?
So I saw the errors, you know, because I struggled in my graphic design business. I knew I wasn't doing things right. And I started, but I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I loved entrepreneurship. I loved the idea of creating what you want, having freedom over your time, your schedule. So I loved that aspect of it, but I knew I needed more education. So I started reading books, taking courses, really developing myself at the same time when I was doing this job, working for this investor. And I looked at the blueprint of his business. I was involved in everything, marketing, bookkeeping, operation. So I was able to see how all the pieces fit together. And that really helped me when I started building my business. And I decided early on to delegate, outsource as soon as possible. And I'm also in a different place in life. I have 3 kids, ages 4 and under. So I have to, you know, I'm not one of those entrepreneurs that wants to or can spend, you know, 70 hours a week working on my business. I maybe spend 30 hours a week working on my business, and that's all I have. Yeah. And so I have to do things as efficient as possible. And part of that is building a team, outsourcing, having systems, processes, all of that. So
nice. Yeah. What's the phrase? It's like, I forget what it is. It's basically saying like, if you need to do something, then you'll figure out how to do it.
Yes.
Anyways, that's the situation that you're in. I can only imagine 3 kids. We just had our first daughter. She's 10 months old. And having 3 of those under the year of 4, that would be difficult. So hats off to you.
Yeah, it's definitely chaotic, but it's fun too.
Well, and you're still moving forward. You're still building your business. Yeah. So that's awesome. Let's talk about your business, about how you run it, about what you do. Wholesaling is that's kind of your bread and butter. That's what you excel at. So there's 2 parts to wholesaling. It's finding the deal and then disposing of the deal, getting a buyer. Let's kind of break those apart. Let's start with finding the deal, finding the seller. How do you market? How do you get deals under contract? Take us through the whole system.
Yeah. So I've been in business for just about a year. So my business is still pretty new. Right now, the only marketing I'm doing is direct mail. I have a business coach that I'm working with who's a very successful wholesaler. He's just really helped me a lot because one mistake I made when I first started was I thought, okay, I was working for this investor. I have a blueprint. I have a shortcut. You know, let's go full speed ahead. And I forgot, or I didn't think about the idea that it took him 11 years to build his business and get it where it was. And so I kind of ran out the gate very quickly. I was spending a lot of money on marketing. I was building my team. I was doing all of these things at once, and I wasn't giving them time to really develop, right? And so I was spending money on direct mail. I did Facebook marketing, and I also had cold callers. And so I was spending way too much money on my marketing, and my team just wasn't able to really make it work. So then I just scaled back, and now all I'm doing is direct mail for now until I'm ready to maybe add in some other channels.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It's if you don't have the right systems in place that are already kind of solidified, then scaling up marketing really does not help you because all those leads are just going to fall right through the cracks and it's just going to be wasted dollars. Why did you choose direct mail over the other, forms of marketing? You mentioned ads, you mentioned cold calling. Why direct mail?
Yeah, it's kind of old, tried and true. And I have a lot of experience with it from my former job. So it's just really my comfort area, and it performs pretty well in my market still.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, direct mail is the tried and true. We mostly do cold calling now just because we have a team of VAs, but I still like direct mail. It's a great way. You send them out, and then even like 6 months down the line, you'll get a call from that mailer that you sent 6 months ago saying, hey, I had your card. I think it's about time.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So you send out the mailers. That's your main form of communicating with the sellers. Who picks up the call? Are you doing the initial calls, or do you have an inbound VA to help you with that?
So we do not have an inbound VA, but I do have a full-time acquisition specialist. He's handling all the calls for the most part.
Okay, cool. And then let's talk about dispositions. How do you find the buyers? How do you find the end buyer when you guys wholesale them?
Yeah. So one of the biggest mistakes I made early on was I wasn't focusing on continually growing my buyers list. And when I first started, it was really hard to dispo the properties. We would get them under contract. I felt like my numbers were solid, but we just didn't have a big enough buyer pool, right? So I started really aggressively growing my list. My VA helps me with it. She's just always going into Facebook groups. I also have a list I pull, and she reaches out to people asking them if they want to be on our list. So she's continually doing that. I send out mailers to our cash buyer list also every single month. Another thing we do is I have a contract that I got approved by the Real Estate Commission and also the MLS, where I can wholesale my deals on the MLS. And so I actually use an agent, and it's not a novation. It's just I'm simply putting my property on the MLS. And I actually use an agent to help me with that. And that's really worked out well for us. Our spread per deal has gone up, and it attracts so many more buyers. It's pretty much a game changer.
That's interesting. I haven't heard of someone doing that outside of, you know, the novations concept. So you take us through that idea. How does it work?
Yeah. So simply in my purchase agreement, I have a spot in there that says that we can market the property on the MLS. The seller has to initial. We're very transparent about it. You know, we tell them we're going to pre-market this property. We're going to put it on the MLS. And what we do is we have one showing for the property. This is for all of our cash buyers. Anyone who sees the property on the MLS, they come to this one showing. We open up the property for an hour, 20, 30, 40 people come in. They all walk through at once. And then they have 24 hours to get their bid to either myself or my agent. And then we go through, you know, all of the offers. We reach back out to them, say, is this your highest and best offer? And then we kind of select the one we want to go with. And that's pretty much how we do it.
Huh. And you mentioned that you work through a realtor?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what, I don't understand why would you need to work through a realtor?
I really don't. So I could use a flat fee MLS listing service. I've gone that route before. It's just a little time consuming for me personally. And there's a few barriers in that process that I didn't love. But I'm not a licensed agent, so I cannot list the property on the MLS personally. I can't do that. So I need an agent or a flat fee listing service. And I just find the agent to be a little better. And then they're also fielding those calls from other agents, and buyers. So that's saving me a lot of time as well.
Gotcha. What is the agent get out of it?
They get a commission. I pay them a commission.
Okay. Is that a percentage of your fee, or is it percentage of the, okay. Usually, I mean, when we refer to agents, we usually do 25-75. Is it about the same for you?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. That's pretty unique. I like the idea of putting it on the MLS. So do you, how does that conversation go with the seller? I feel like that would be a difficult conversation to have. Just kind of explain how you kind of tee it up with the seller. How they usually react, all that stuff.
Sure. So we tell them, you know, we're investors. We're obviously in this business to make a profit. Sometimes we close on the properties and keep them in our portfolio. Sometimes we just simply resell them for a profit. In order for us to get the best results for the seller, to close quickly, you know, get the property out of their hair, we like to pre-market it on the MLS. We talk about the showing, we talk about the process, we tell them it's going to be chaotic. There's going to be 30, 40, 50 people walking through the house, but we tell them it's only for that 1 hour and that's it. They don't have to show the property again. They don't have to give us access again. And you know, most people are perfectly fine with that. And the important part is just being extremely transparent with them, making sure they're okay, knowing that they'll probably see it on Zillow or on the MLS listed for more money than what we're paying them. And, you know, most people are fine with that. So
makes sense. Yeah. Especially if you just tell them, like, you know, we are a business, we are here to make money. And so, I feel like once people understand that you're not doing this out of the generosity of your heart, obviously you're a business, you're trying to help them as well, but, there has to be benefit for both parties. And so, that makes sense. All right. Looks like we have gone through the time. It's time to jump into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Starts with books or any form of education. Could be movies, could be audiobooks, whatever. Just give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom and then one for real estate.
Okay. One for general life wisdom, it's more entrepreneurship, is called We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers. The target audience for that is probably mostly women and minorities, but there's some really great advice in there. And gosh, real estate investing, I would say The Debt Millionaire. I forget the author's name, but that's a really good one about leveraging, you know, getting leverage for your properties.
Yeah. Interesting. Super, super good advice. Contrary to, what's the Gen X, the guy that they love about finance,
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey. Yeah. Says never take
like having no debt, yeah. Nothing. Yeah.
All right. Next question is about the U.S. It's a big place. There's a lot of opportunity. Give me the single metro you're most excited about investing in today.
I would say Little Rock, Arkansas, just because that's my main market.
Little Rock. All right. I used to own I still hold the note on it, but a self-storage facility in Hot Springs. Southwest of Little Rock.
Yeah. It was very good. Hot Springs is it's a cute little town. I love it there.
Yeah, it's interesting from an investing perspective because
the economy is strange there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some, like, you'll go one block will be really nice, like that one where they have all the baths, and then like a block over, it's just broken down buildings. And so I ended up buying, I thought it was a good deal, but that doesn't matter. It was an interesting experience. Yeah. We did make money, but I probably will not be investing in Hot Springs again.
The interesting thing about Hot Springs is it's a small town. There's a lot of tourism there, but there's like no middle class. There's affluent people, and then there's like impoverished people. There's just really not a middle class. And so I think that it makes it difficult in a lot of aspects.
Yeah, yeah. That would kind of explain some things. Cool. So moving it on, we're going to lessons learned. Not every deal that we go through goes the way that we expect it. A lot of times a wrench is thrown into the mix and the deal goes a little bit sideways. But in those deals, we learn our biggest lessons. So what was the deal that went a little sideways for you? And then what was the lesson you learned from it?
I had a deal where the seller wasn't completely upfront with his situation, that he was in pre-foreclosure, that there were all of these liens on the property. And he kept negotiating back and forth on every little thing with us. We got it under contract. We found out it was in a flood zone on top of all of those other liens. And the deal just kind of kept getting worse and worse and worse. And we ended up canceling the contract. And so I guess what I learned from there is First of all, just always be in the negotiating position where you can walk away. You're ready to walk away from the deal if you're not getting your needs met. And I think I was a little too flexible in that one. And then second is just really taking time to build that trust, build the rapport, and ask all the right and deep questions instead of kind of speeding through the process.
Yeah, that is really good advice. Especially being willing to walk away, because if you've been putting a lot of effort into a deal, it is it's difficult to walk away. Especially when you mm-hmm. you get those red flags and you're like, okay, this isn't a deal. But half of you is like, oh no, I can make it a deal. We put too much effort into this. It's the
And I was kind of attached to the property because it was like it had a lot of potential. We were getting it for a really good price. It was in a beautiful area. It was right by the lake. But it was in a flood zone, and I didn't know that an actual flood happened a few years ago. And everyone, like when we started marketing the property, all the buyers were like, does this have flood damage? Was it part of the flood? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. That leads us to the very last question. This is for the listeners. You've given us a lot to think about. I'm sure people want to reach out, get in contact with you. And this is a two-parter. Where can they find you? And then what can they expect when they reach out?
Yeah. So you can find me at lindsaysharmaproperties.com. And I spell my name with an A-Y. So L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. And I'm just happy to connect. I love talking to other investors, you know, learning from you. And I'm happy if you have any questions about maybe investing in Central Arkansas or even Central Florida, you know, I'm happy to connect.
Cool. That is lindsaysharmaproperties.com. I will put that link in the show notes. So if y'all want to reach out, just click the little more in the description. It'll pull down that full description. And in there, you can find Lindsay's link. All right, Lindsay, that wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thanks for having me, Gabe.
Absolutely. For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions, reach out to me, Gabe, at therealestateinvestingclub.com. If you want to support the show, just give us a like, subscribe, share, all that jazz. Other than that, I hope you have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form, fill that out, and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.